The following program is paid for by Cobalt Mortgage. Cobalt Mortgage, Inc., NMLS 35653, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, and Mike Mercer, MLO number 175644, are licensed loan originators with Cobalt Mortgage. Go to cobaltmortgage.com or call 1-877-220-4663 for cost information.
You're listening to The Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer. Now, in the studio, local mortgage and finance experts Tina Mitchell and Mike Mercer.
Welcome to The Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer, the Sunday, July 14th show. I'm Tina Mitchell, mortgage diva, and sitting to my left is my lovely, awesome, handsome co-host, Mike Mercer.
I'm glad you threw handsome in there, because lovely is, you know... I'm glad you see that little extra piece. Thank you.
Sometimes I got to make you feel extra special.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking time to talk with Mike and I about money. We're here every Sunday at 11 a.m. right here on 570 KVI. Our goal is to keep you up to date on the latest news and trends in our local economy. Keep us tuned in and we will always keep you informed. And we've got a couple great guests. And actually, we have three guests in studio, but our first guests are regular contributors. They've been here quite often to talk about real estate because there's a lot of stuff going on in real estate. Paul Fennell and Daniel Renee with Flux Real Estate. Today, we're going to talk about the market, multiple offers, and everything that you need to do to prepare for that. And our second guest in studio, first-time guest, so we're excited to have him here, Jason Wotacha, owner and founder of Noble Ridge Construction, custom home builder, remodel, and developer. We will discuss everything that you'll want to know about custom construction. Great information and awesome guests that we have in studio. For more information, take down our phone number, 1-888-987-0570. Again, that's 1-888-987-0570 or online at the moneyhour.com. And Mike, you know what time it is?
I know what time it is.
What time is it?
Money chat time.
Money.
All right, Tina. So I stumbled across this article, and this is 10 first-time home buyer mistakes. And this actually might fall right good into
only 10?
Only 10. Yeah, there's only 10 that you think that you need to worry about if you're a first-time home buyer. So let's get rocking here. I'm going to try to read through this pretty quickly. But, you know, as we learned back from the subprime mortgage mess, you know, what the banks say that you can afford and what you can actually afford can sometimes be two different things. So if you don't already have a budget, make a list of all your monthly expenses, including rent, including vehicle costs, student loan payments, credit card payments, groceries, health insurance, retirement savings, and so on. You know, don't forget major expenses that occur only once a year, like insurance premiums that you pay annually or annual vacations. And make sure to subtract this from the total amount that you take home on your check, and you'll know how much money you can afford to spend on a mortgage payment. Sounds kind of simple, but believe me, most people don't take the time to do this. So that's number one. Second thing, skipping mortgage qualification. I don't really know of anybody who does this anymore these days, but I guess there's still some people that try to do this. You know, what you think you can afford and what the bank is willing to lend might also not match up. So it's kind of the reverse. You might think that you can afford a $350,000 house, and in actuality, you can only afford $280,000. So you want to make sure that you don't skip that piece. It's very important. Most real estate agents won't even talk to you unless you have been pre-approved by a reputable lender. So make sure that you get that taken care of. You don't want to, because the thing that will happen is, it says be aware that even if you have been pre-approved for a mortgage, your loan can fall through if you do something to alter your credit score, like purchase a car during the middle of the transaction or run up debt. If you cause the deal to fall through, you may have to forfeit the money that you've put up when you went under contract. So make sure that you cross your T's and dot your I's and don't do anything like that without talking to your lender first. Another one, being too picky. Go ahead and put everything you can think of on your wish list. Don't be so inflexible that you end up continuing to rent for significantly longer than you really want to. First-time home buyers often have to compromise on something because their funds are limited. You may have to live on a busy street, accept outdated decor, make some repairs to the home, or forego that extra bedroom. Of course, you can always choose to continue renting until you can afford everything on your wish list. You'll just have to decide how important it is for you to become a homeowner now versus in a couple of years. Another one, lacking vision. Even if you can't afford to replace the hideous wallpaper in the bathroom that on the house that you're looking at, it might be worth to live with the ugliness for a while in exchange for getting into a house that you can actually afford. If the home meets your needs in terms of being, you know, in the right area, the right location, you know, it's the right layout, don't let imperfections turn you away. Besides doing home upgrades yourself, even if you have to hire a contractor, it's often cheaper than paying the increased home value to a seller who has already done all the work for you. Okay, another one, being swept away. Minor upgrades and cosmetic fixes are inexpensive tricks that play on your emotions and kind of elect a much higher price. Sellers can pay up to $2,000 for a minimal upgrade or staging that'll end up actually costing you $30,000 to $40,000 more in price. If you're on a budget, look for homes whose full potential has not yet been realized. Also, first-time homebuyers should always look for a house they can add value to. This ensures a bump in equity to help you up the property ladder. Okay, number seven, compromising on the important things. Don't get a two-bedroom home when you know you're planning to have kids and will want at least three bedrooms. By the same token, don't buy a condo just because it's cheaper when one of the main reasons you're over apartment life is because you hate sharing walls with neighbors. Kind of makes sense. It's true that you'll probably have to make some compromises to help to be able to afford your first home, but don't make compromises that will be a major strain. Number eight, neglecting to inspect. It's tempting to think that you're a homeowner the moment you go into escrow, but before you close on the sale, you need to know what kind of shape the house is in. You don't want to get stuck with a money pit or with the headaches of performing a lot of unexpected repairs. Keeping your feelings in check until you have a full picture of the house's physical condition and the soundness of your potential investment will help you to avoid making a serious financial mistake. Number nine, not hiring your own agent or using the seller's agent. Once you're seriously shopping for a home, don't walk into an open house without having an agent, or at least being prepared to throw out a name of someone you're supposedly working with. Agents are held to the ethical rule that they must act in the best interest of their clients, but if you're a buyer, you'll probably have a stronger advocate for your interests if you use your own agent and not the seller's. That's kind of a no-brainer. And last but not least, number 10, not thinking about the future. It's impossible to perfectly predict the future of your chosen neighborhood, but paying attention to information that is available to you now can help you avoid unpleasant surprises down the road. So, some questions you should ask about your prospective property include: what kind of development plans are in the works for your neighborhood? These are things that you might want to ask the seller or ask the listing agent or have your agent look into for you. Is your street likely to become a major street or a popular rush hour shortcut? Will a highway be built in your backyard in 5 years? What are the zoning laws in your area? If there's lots of undeveloped land, what is likely to get built there in the near future? Have home values in the neighborhood been declining? These are all great questions. I don't think people take the time to really ask enough. So anyways, hopefully these hints will help you first-time home buyers that are out there in the marketplace, or even you move-up buyers. It's good information to remember.
And it's nice, Mike, with Money Chat. I mean, you and I know, but maybe our listeners don't know. We actually kind of just do our own thing and come into studio and figure it out. But sometimes our stuff kind of just blends and comes together. And this is one of those days.
Oh,
I've got what to ask your mortgage professional.
Okay.
Yeah. So these are questions you want to come prepared with when you're talking to mortgage professionals, deciding who you want to work with and doing that interview process. So the first one I would ask is their cost for pre-approval. It used to be really common that you'd pay cost for pre-approval. I've always coached my clients never to pay a cost. Really, it's your chance to get some upfront information and to really interview that mortgage consultant. Now, maybe I've never charged for a credit report, but in all fairness, there are some companies that require that because there is a fee and a cost for the credit report. So at minimum, paying for a credit report. But other than that, there used to be really big application fees, $250 or $500 just to have the supposedly privilege to sit down and meet with someone. You really want to make sure that you're not paying any upfront fees for that pre-approval process. You also want to make sure that it is a pre-approval, that you're going through that process for pre-approval, not just pre-qualification. The difference is a pre-qualification is just kind of an estimate of what your mortgage consultant thinks maybe you might be able to do, whereas a pre-approval is having all your documents reviewed and analyzed. So as we talked last week in the importance to make sure that you don't make changes, which is another money chat. But if you listen last week, tying back into that, a pre-approval is only as good as the information you provide. So it doesn't matter if you're pre-qualified or pre-approval, the pre-approval is not going to continue if you make any financial changes that could jeopardize that. The next question you want to ask about locking, when do you have the opportunity to lock, and really being educated on that process? A lot of clients don't, and this is not really that there's going to be a difference from one lender to another as far as locking, because there really isn't. Everybody has 15, 30, 60, 90-day locks. There are some specific lenders that have some extended new construction locks. That's a whole nother conversation. But really to ask the question is just so that you understand when the locking process happens, because a lot of homeowners feel going through the approval process that they're in a position that they can lock. And I've had clients that thought that they were locked at that process. You're not. You can't lock in an interest rate until you have an offer accepted on a home. And the reason why is because your lock is actually attached to a property. So if you don't have a property, you can't lock in your interest rate. So once your offer is accepted, then you're in a position to lock. Now, if you are not asking that question or you're not understanding that process, in this environment, people may have lost potential, or homeowners moving forward may have lost a lot of money, because on our low end for interest rates, they were about 3.25% for a 30-year fixed conforming loan. Not quoting interest rates today, just giving hypothetical examples. But our low was about 3.25%. And then since the beginning of May until now, it's more on an average of 4.75%. That's a huge, huge difference. If you were in a position to lock when your offer was accepted and then you were out there floating and now your mortgage payment goes up on a $300,000 loan, $260 a month, you may not want to move forward. And worst case, you may not even qualify for the loan. So understand that process. Also, when locking an interest rate, you want to make sure you're not going to pay any upfront fees. There are a lot of lenders that'll charge upfront fees to lock in your interest rate. You shouldn't have an upfront fee to be able to, you know, to lock in your interest rate. So you want to have that conversation. You also want to ask about your options for float down. See what options that you have if there is a big movement in the market. So you want to get something in writing. Because a lot of lenders will say, oh, yeah, we've got a float down option, when they really don't. Get something in writing in the terms of how that float down option works. A common industry standard typically is when you're locked in, you have to see that the interest rates have moved kind of a substantial. Lenders are not just out there just floating down the rate whenever the rates go down, because they're hedging and committing to a certain rate on the secondary market. So if they were to do that, they wouldn't be able to afford to lend anymore. But if there's a substantial change, usually it's over 0.25% in the interest rate, you should have a one-time float down option. The time frame and when you can float down typically is going to be once you have final loan approval. So if there's a big market drop right after you lock in your interest rate, it's going to be too early to take advantage of that float down option. You've got to get through the final loan approval process, reanalyze interest rates. So get something in writing on your float down option. That would have helped a lot of people in an environment where the interest rates dropped drastically, but would have protected in today's environment if you knew you had that float down option. You would have felt more comfortable maybe locking in the interest rate, and it just really saved you a lot of money in today's environment. Next, ask about loan discount and loan origination fees. Just understand that there are options. There's not one interest rate for you to choose. There's a range of interest rates that you can choose from. In any given day, you should be looking at five, maybe six different interest rate structures. An example would be a really awesome interest rate. Let's just use hypothetical examples for today. Let's just say for a 4.25% interest rate, that is an awesome interest rate right now today. Maybe it's 2 points. 4.5, maybe that's 1.5. 4.75, that's 1 point. 5%, no points at all, nothing. 5.25, the bank's going to pay you to take that rate. There's an example of the different interest rate options that you may see. So analyze and see what makes most sense and understand how that process works. What are your loan options? This is really, really important that Mike and I see in a lot of clients that don't understand that they have options. A good example would be somebody that's coming in with a 5% down payment. They don't think they have options. They have one option. You pay PMI, do 5% down. That is not the case. And we've talked in Money Chat before in the real creative options that you have to buy out mortgage insurance and, you know, get into an extra $30,000, $50,000 in home by understanding what your options are. So make sure you analyze those. Or on a worse case scenario, thinking you need to go FHA for a low down payment loan when you don't. So you're getting stuck in a program that's going to have really, really high cost for mortgage insurance where you could actually do a conventional 3% down, lower down payment and lower cost of mortgage insurance. So it's the biggest mistake that I think you as a consumer can make in not understanding and asking the questions of where are my options? Do they offer all the government-backed programs? Do they offer down payment assistance? Do they offer FHA, conventional, VA, USDA? So asking the question, and those are, if you want to write those down, here's your programs. There, you have FHA, VA if you're a veteran, conventional financing, USDA financing, and down payment assistance. So there's five options. Just ask them if they provide all those finance options. Mortgage insurance, I just talked about that, but understanding that you don't have to have a 20% down payment to avoid paying PMI or private mortgage insurance. So make sure that you're analyzing the difference. In this environment right now with real estate, and when we have Paul and Daniel come up in our next segment, we're going to talk about how crazy it is out there. But you don't have as many options. You have to strategize a little bit more. If you've got 20% down, you may just choose to do the 20% down instead of minimizing your investment, maximizing your mortgage, which might be the more financial smart thing to do, but you won't get your offer accepted if you're in a multiple offer situation. So be thinking about that in analyzing your options. Common sense, what are the closing costs? Make sure you look at a cost breakdown, not just an email that says here are the interest rates and here are the points associated, but you want to analyze and look at those closing costs. Ask them about their process as far as the team. There's not just your mortgage consultant that's going to be closing the loan, but it's a mortgage consultant. Hopefully they've got some type of team assistant that's part of their process, because I guarantee you anybody that doesn't isn't doing a lot of business. You've got to have that team together. So find out who those key players are. And that's a Money Chat. We got to take it to commercial. If you're thinking about real estate, a little bit crazy in the market, again, we have regular contributors of our show, awesome in our local market here, right here on 570 KVI after this short break.
Looking to buy or sell a home but feel overwhelmed? Flux Real Estate helps families navigate the complicated process of not only buying or selling, but also creating long-term strategies to maximize their real estate opportunities. They've helped hundreds of families take advantage of market strengths and weaknesses. This is one of the biggest investments in your life. Put the right tools, expertise, resources, and strategies on your side and be confident about your decision.
At Flux Real Estate, we believe information alone is not enough. Search engines, statistics, interest rate trends, those are all good things, but only when information is harnessed to produce knowledge does its usefulness truly shine. To know a good deal when you see one. To know you're making the best decision. To know you're not getting in over your head. This is how you want to buy a home. This is why we do what we do. This is Daniel Renee with Flux Real Estate. To learn more about our services, contact us at 425-214-1178 or visit us on the web at fluxre.com. That's F-L-U-X-R-E as in real estate.com. Again, it's 425-214-1178.
Isn't it time you start getting what you want? I'm Jason Watacha, owner of Noble Ridge Construction, specialist in custom home building and remodeling. It's time to make yourself happy and create the home that fits your desires and style. That process starts by visiting us at NobleRidgeConstruction.com or follow us on Facebook to get inspired. You can also see featured custom lots available, architects, and signature series homes for sale by us. NobleRidgeConstruction.com. That's NobleRidgeConstruction.com. Dreams begin here.
Free electricity from your roof? It's possible with solar energy. Here's Amy from Solterra Systems.
There's never been a better time to install solar in Washington, and yes, we do get enough sun. Incentives cover over 50% if the installation cost and zero down financing is available. Enjoy watching your meter run backwards this summer by installing solar now.
Go to useyourroof.com to find out how easy it can be. That's useyourroof.com or call 800-865-9005 to get your free site assessment from Solterra Systems.
This is the Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance experts Tina Mitchell and Mike Mercer.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer here on 570 KVI. We are here every Sunday at 11 a.m. And the purpose of our show is to educate our listeners on what's really going on in our local real estate market and financial arena. You can reach Tina and me anytime at 1-888-987-0570 or online at themoneyhour.com. Again, that's 1-888-987-0570 or online at themoneyhour.com.
And our show is The Money Hour, which means we talk about money, the economy,
Lots of real estate.
And real estate, I mean, that's money, the economy, right?
Yep.
So that's what we're going to talk about right now. We're going to talk about real estate. And we have some of the best in studio with us representing real estate, Paul Fennell and Daniel Renee, which have been in many, many times if you're regular listeners to the show. Very fortunate to have them in here because they're busy, busy guys, and they have a lot that they're doing out there on the market. But as of Mike and I, as well for Paul and Daniel, they're really about educating and providing the information to consumers. So we're happy to have them here.
Yeah.
And quick introduction of who they are. Paul began his real estate career 16 years ago as a buyer's representative. He started presenting real estate seminars in the Puget Sound area and averaged 5 seminars per month over a 7-year span. That's a lot of seminars, and that's a lot of people that came through his seminars. During this time, Paul started to train buyer's agents and became the sales manager of a team that grew to 14 agents. At that time, he began to work on the listing side of the transactions, working with sellers to get the most money for their homes, and the team average, listen to this, monthly sales of $10 million in volume. Huge, huge real estate transactions that went through the office. And then Daniel has held his full-time career in real estate for 8 years, from hosting seller seminars to new construction site sales to flipping bank-owned and auction properties. Daniel has conquered many facets of the real estate industry, which is really unusual that you can put on so many hats and do it so well. So thanks, you guys, for coming back again.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Good to see you guys.
Who's talking a lot today? Is it you, Paul, or Daniel?
I think it's Daniel.
Okay.
He can't shut me up.
Yeah. Well, let's get into this. So what is going on right now in the market as far as prices?
Definitely, like Tina alluded to earlier, crazy times right now. We talked last time about the mindset shift in the marketplace and how it takes a little while for the sellers to realize they have the power, and it takes about maybe a year, sometimes 2 years. Well, we have certainly officially gone past that particular shift. Everybody knows the seller's market now. Buyers are getting off the fence left and right, which is great. It's we're glad they're happening. It's happening, but it's absolutely crazy right now. The lack of inventory is just staggering, and it's been this way for a little while. And standard supply and demand, basic economics. When you have a little amount of supply and great demand, prices just go up, up, up. And we've been seeing that trend going since January of 2012, and it's been consistently moving in that direction. So, if you're wondering whether or not you should be doing this, get on the train before it's too late.
So on that note, Daniel, all the increases that we've seen in the real estate, and especially in a little bit, if we take a little bit of the short term time and how quickly it's appreciated or the market's gone up, and now we kind of bring in what Mike and I talked about earlier about the interest rates increasing as well. Somebody may be asking, is it still a good time to buy?
It's a great question. We have a lot of people, back to those 10 tips you were talking about earlier for first-time home buyers, where they're concerned about what they can get for their money and so on and so forth. They're realizing that what their expectation was based on the information 2 years ago is very different than it is now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have this fear of, oh boy, we missed the train. Let's just go ahead and rent for another year and see what happens later on. And while it seems logical at the moment because again, you're not getting what you want for your money based on your previous expectation. When the market's appreciating and appreciating and appreciating the way it is, the chances of you saving up enough money to make up for that difference. Exactly. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, we try to stress to people that those homes that, you're putting your nose up to right now, that don't meet your criteria right now. I mean, the sad truth is if you give it a year, even those are going to be out of your price range.
And if you're putting your nose up at 4.75% interest
exactly.
rate, be thinking about that again, because it's all perception. I mean, awesome rates, awesome prices
exactly.
when we all take it down.
It's a double whammy right now.
Yeah.
With the prices rising and the interest rates rising, you've got to get off the fence. We have a saying in the industry, those who are on the fence get shot from both sides. And right now, it's definitely time to just choose a side.
And Bernanke's only talked about tapering back on QE3. He hasn't actually done it yet. So wait, see what happens when he actually does it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So obviously, still a good time to be buying right now. What about is there a new pricing bubble, do you think?
That's a great question. We do have a number of people, back to this concept where people aren't necessarily, they're getting in the marketplace, they're not necessarily finding what they want for their price. And so as this becomes kind of a norm for many first-time home buyers, particularly in that sub-$300,000 price range as well, I would want to stress that, you're going to find that a lot of people are going to, you know, find new reasons for why they can't buy or why they shouldn't buy, and they'll play into those, particularly the media. This is really very important. We always stress this a lot to clients in general that, you know, again, the media sells advertising.
Fear sells. Fear makes money.
Exactly.
Yes.
And when things are going great, the media is going to tell you, you know, watch out for this. And mm-hmm. when things are going bad, they're going to say, well, look at this on the bright side. And mm-hmm. it's always going to play to the opposite end. When it comes down to it, though, prices do go down. Yes. I mean, every price will eventually go down. That there's no doubt about that. To question this is to think like, you know, fall isn't going to come, you know, after summer, or, you know, what happens after
spring. I like that,
Daniel. It's a concept that's going to happen.
Yeah.
The question is, when is it going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And all we're simply looking for are the key signs that show that the prices are going to go down sometime here soon. And the biggest key factor of that is going to be inventory levels. And the inventory levels have been, again, staggeringly low for a long period of time now. And those inventory levels, they don't change and jump 50% overnight. It's a very gradual process, unless something, of course, obviously crazy happens, you know, with the government or with mm-hmm. some kind of a situation like in 2007 when that the financing collapse did happen. Definitely things changed overnight, of course.
Yep.
But even then, it took a while for the inventory to change levels and therefore the price is being affected.
And we're seeing those people. I mean, in that market, you're not going to lose money unless you sold, because we're seeing the market's recovering. The market historically will always recover. So, you know, buying at the bottom of the stock market, getting at the lowest interest rate, buying at the lowest point that you can in real estate, I don't know. It's really hard to hit that point.
Absolutely.
And if it makes sense, get in, take advantage of the opportunities.
Absolutely. The thing about particularly prices, again, because most people are paying attention to prices because that's mm-hmm. what, again, determines their monthly payment. And it makes sense, of course, for them to pay attention to those. But the most key factor is definitely the inventory. And, you know, with that said, when it comes to the prices, you don't actually know when the top of the market has happened until you are consistently going down.
Sure.
And you don't know the bottom of the market until you are consistently going up. The key word there is consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to go back and forth each time and just go play month by month, you're never going to truly understand what's going on. But inventory levels truly tell you the real story, where things are headed. And right now they're headed in where prices are going up. So definitely
yep.
get off the fence.
So call to action. Give us a call, 1-888-987-0570. Again, that is 1-888-987-0570 or online at themoneyhour.com, and we will connect you with Paul and Daniel, the best of the best in our local market here. So Daniel, let's say that somebody is taking heeding our call to action. They pick up the phone, give us a call, we connect them with you. What is going to be your advice on the first step they need to take?
First step they need to go ahead and take definitely would be, honestly, speaking with a lender. You certainly can go online, take a look at things like mortgage calculators, but it's really important to note that a lot of times most mortgage calculators are just going to simply show you the principal and interest,
mm-hmm.
not the taxes and the insurance. Most people, again, are deciding, okay, we know the market's good, we know interest rates are going up, we got to jump in and do something sooner rather than later before we miss the train. And then they just do their basic research. But understand that the internet, like any medium, is, you know, designed to get you excited about mm-hmm. buying. So they don't want to show you the two sides of the coin when it comes to your loan. So the sooner you speak with a lender, definitely the better off you're going to go ahead and be. Especially, you know, if you're just browsing, if you're more than a year out, maybe a mortgage calculator might not be bad just to get you a feel for what you can possibly do, as long as it calculates for taxes and insurance mm-hmm. as well. But really, the sooner you speak to a lender, the lender, like you mentioned earlier, can pull your credit, can
mm-hmm.
tell you what's going on. If you have some things on there, you now have the time to remedy those before you start seriously jumping in the market.
And for experience, all four of us see this. I mean, people that think that they're a year out, or they think they're 2 years out, once they go over financing, if it makes sense, now all of a sudden it makes sense for next weekend or the weekend after. It's because you've got that plan together and everything starts to fit into place.
Absolutely.
So you're a year out, 2 years out, get the financing taken care of. It makes sense. Things are going to move quickly for you.
Yeah, perfect example is that.
You can find a home.
Yeah, we did a home buyer workshop like several weeks ago, And somebody, we'd survey everybody at the end and mark down, you know, what time frame do you think you want to buy? And mm-hmm. this person marked, you know, 12 months or longer. And we asked, you know, would you like us to contact you for a free consultation? They marked no, right? Well, I, of course, you know, I reached out to them anyways. And sure enough, you know, I got an email yesterday and they want to get pre-approved, right?
Yeah.
So it's just funny to think that, you know, buyers don't always know what they think they know,
yes.
right? And when they want to do stuff. So always got to be prepared. So what can a person reasonably offer on a home right now?
Again, another great question. When it all comes down to it, it's very specific to the type of home that you're purchasing. And let me kind of do a little umbrella terms here. We break the homes in the marketplace down to three specific categories. We have what we call traditional homes, we have short sales, and you have bank-owned homes. Short sales and bank-owned will fall into the distressed category. Mm-hmm. But of course, traditional homes is basically anything where, again, it's non-distressed. That could be a human being seller selling their home of 50 years. That could be a new construction site. The bottom line is there's no... The seller can sell the home and pay off whoever they owe money to and walk away with some kind of profit or zero. Then, of course, you have the short sale situation where it's a seller who's simply on a sinking ship. They know it's just simply a matter of time before they're going to lose the home. So in lieu of foreclosure, what they're simply trying to do is to sell the home for short of what they owe the bank. That's the term short sale. It does not mean it takes a short period of time to buy or anything along the lines. It's complete opposite,
The exact opposite.
It's nuts how long it takes those things to close. And then, of course, you have the bank-owned homes. And so when you're talking about the offer, first things first, it's important to note that the motivation of the seller is going to make a big difference in kind of the angle you want to take with your offer. So back to the traditional concept. If it's traditional, again, if it's a human being person who has owned the home for, you know, 30 years, mm-hmm. and you can tell it's a little bit overpriced and they're just kind of seeing what they can do, you know, your strategy with an offer is going to be different than, say, for example, again, a bank-owned home. Bank-owned homes basically the bank just wants to get rid of the home. They're not going to give it away. Don't get me wrong. It's a real fallacy. People are thinking, No. The banks still want as much, they want to minimize the loss as much as humanly possible, but the bottom is they do want to get rid of the home. So bank-owned homes tend to have a lot of multiple offer scenarios. I would say more frequently than you would find on traditional homes. But again, multiple offer scenarios are pretty big right now as well.
So Daniel, let's talk about that. And it's a loaded question, but let's talk about multiple offers.
Okay. So again, when it comes to multiple offers, back to the dependency upon the type of home, there's really a couple different ways that you're going to do multiple offer scenarios. You have, for traditional homes, you have kind of what I would refer to as the eBay of real estate. And then for bank-owned homes, it's pretty much just a highest and best. The funny thing is, even in this market right now, short sale homes are actually going into multiple offer scenarios. And the funniest thing about that is that the short sale prices, they're fictional. They're not even real. They're set by the person losing the home. It's the bank who will ultimately approve the price the home sells for. So that's a whole other topic we can talk about forever. But the bottom line, though, is in the multiple offer scenario, let's go and focus on traditional homes. So basically, it's like this. When you have, say, you know, 5 or 7 offers on a home, and again, I can't stress enough, I would say 90% of the time in this market right now, we are going into multiple offer scenarios.
Especially our market
mm-hmm. right now. And no doubt about that. It's a very rare scenario that we do not go into multiple offer. And even when I do get an offer on a home that wasn't multiple, the seller is countering so aggressively because they can, because they know that there's the inventory starved. But anyways, back to the question. So the multiple offer scenario in a traditional home is going to be kind of like the eBay of real estate, where so there's 5 offers on the table. We're going to include a form in your offer called a 35E escalation clause. And what this simply means, very much like eBay, is let's say the home's priced at $300,000, mm-hmm. and we run comparables on the home. We say, you know what, fair market value of this home is actually more like $310,000, maybe $315,000. The question to you, of course, is what are you willing, you know, what's this home worth to you?
Sure.
And once you determine what that number is, we'll still write the offer for, again, if we're going up against 5 other offers, writing it full price is kind of a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is how much higher you're willing to go above that. So let's say you're willing to go to, say, $320,000. So on your escalation clause, we'll say we're willing to go up to $320,000 in $1,000 increments above the net of the other offer that we beat. And that's really important to note. So just like on eBay, if you're to bid, you have your maximum bid. And if someone else bids you up, well, then you're going to be a penny over or a dollar over that maximum bid. Same exact concept. And if there's any question about, you know, the ethics of this concept, rest assured that the seller does have to provide you with the offer that you beat to prove why your price was pushed up. And that's a really important note, so there's no real fear about that one. And again, with the bank-owned homes, it's plain and simple, highest and best.
Yeah.
The moment that a bank understands that there are multiple offers on the property, they simply hit the brakes, tell everybody stop. Okay, we have multiple offers. Just write us your highest and best, and that's just that's basically it. You'll never know the other offers. You'll never know if you were way high or way low. It's just you just have to.
So you just have to understand the strategy depending on the property. And I think going back on the multiple offer, I don't know why anybody in a traditional would not do an escalation clause in this environment. But also just understanding, because so many people don't understand, what does $10,000 really mean? Well, in a lower down payment option, it could be $50-$60 a month. It's nothing. So really determining your objective in a payment and kind of working things around from that.
Very much so.
Yeah. So what can you expect a seller to fix, you know, depending upon what the inspection comes back as?
Okay, great. And it, again, definitely comes back to the type of home as well. We'll go ahead and start with the traditional homes first. Now, this is also assuming that you have an offer right now written contingent upon inspection. Like we talked about last time.
What is the percentage, Daniel, that people are going in waiving their inspection?
It's pretty high right now.
Like
it's pretty high, definitely.
70% or?
I would say maybe even higher than that.
Yeah,
it depends on the property. Now, this is really important to note. I want to make sure listeners understand. It doesn't mean we're not going to have an inspection. That's really, very important. But what it does basically mean, though, is that in the event that something is found when you waive inspection, it means you can't walk because of that.
Got it.
Now, mind you, when we write a contract for a client, we put as many ways as possible for that client to walk away from the contract, no harm, no foul. So we still have an inspection. And if we happen to find something that's at the inspection we don't necessarily like, well, you know, there may be something else we can get out on, even though it was the inspection was the reason itself. So with traditional homes, it's negotiable, of course, but with bank-owned homes, for the most part, they're not going to fix anything. The homes are very much as is. The only exception to that rule that I've seen is if something is dependent on your financing, the banks will sometimes fix things.
Okay. Daniel, Paul, thank you so much. I know you guys are on the calendar for future shows. Can't wait to have you back. Yeah. Thank you for sharing your wealth of information.
Good stuff, guys. Good to see you again.
You too.
And coming up next on The Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer, custom building is about getting the things you want, putting your style on it, and breaking away from the same old molds. Find out how it's done with our next guest in studio, Jason Watacha, and founder of Noble Ridge Construction, right here on 570 KVI after this short break.
Isn't it time you start getting what you want? I'm Jason Watacha, owner of Noble Ridge Construction, specialist in custom home building and remodeling. It's time to make yourself happy and create the home that fits your desires and style. That process starts by visiting us at NobleRidgeConstruction.com or follow us on Facebook to get inspired. You can also see featured custom lots available, architects, and signature series homes for sale by us. NobleRidgeConstruction.com. That's NobleRidgeConstruction.com. Dreams begin here.
Looking to buy or sell a home but feel overwhelmed? Flux Real Estate helps families navigate the complicated process of not only buying or selling, but also creating long-term strategies to maximize their real estate opportunities. They've helped hundreds of families take advantage of market strengths and weaknesses. This is one of the biggest investments in your life. Put the right tools, expertise, resources, and strategies on your side and be confident about your decision.
At Flux Real Estate, we believe information alone is not enough. Search engines, statistics, interest rate trends, those are all good things, but only when information is harnessed to produce knowledge does its usefulness truly shine. To know a good deal when you see one. To know you're making the best decision. To know you're not getting in over your head. This is how you want to buy a home. This is why we do what we do. This is Daniel Renee with Flux Real Estate. To learn more about our services, contact us at 425-214-1178 or visit us on the web at fluxre.com. That's F-L-U-X-R-E as in real estate.com. Again, it's 425-214-1178.
Free electricity from your roof? It's possible with solar energy. Here's Amy from Solterra Systems.
There's never been a better time to install solar in Washington, and yes, we do get enough sun. Incentives cover over 50% if the installation cost and zero down financing is available. Enjoy watching your meter run backwards this summer by installing solar now.
Go to useyourroof.com to find out how easy it can be. That's useyourroof.com or call 800-865-9005 to get your free site assessment from Solterra Systems.
This is The Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance experts Tina Mitchell and Mike Mercer.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer here on 570 KVI every Sunday at 11 a.m. The purpose of our show is to educate our listeners on what's really going on in our local real estate market and financial arena. You can reach Tina and me at 1-888-987-0570 or online at themoneyhour.com. Again, that's 1-888-987-0570 or online at themoneyhour.com.
And write down that phone number again, 1-888-987-0570, because we have a first-time guest in studio, and he is going to be a regular contributor of our show and representing custom home builds. We haven't had a true representative that we felt comfortable adding to our wealth management team until we met up with Jason, and so I'm just really, really excited to have him here. You definitely will want to connect with him if you have any needs in that arena. Jason Wachacha is owner and founder of Noble Ridge Construction. Jason has over 24 years experience in the industry and is a second generation custom home builder, remodeler, and developer. He has been a business owner in his field since 1998 and is solely started Noble Ridge Construction in 2009 with the emphasis on building unique, high character properties and custom builds. His experience has been well-rounded from working in the field directly with his father as a young man, helping investors with rehabs and developing, as well as working with top architects in the Seattle area building high-quality remodel and custom homes. Noble Ridge Construction is also a proud member of the Master Builder Association of King County and Snohomish County and an active member and participant of Built Green Program. That's why we want to have him here. He has it all and is really just a really great representation. And we're just happy to have you as part of the team, Jason.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome. So tell us about your experience. Maybe you can expand on that a little bit.
Well, I've been in the field for a long time. My dad was a custom home builder. And so I automatically grew right into the industry with him. And that opportunity gave me a good hands-on experience, as well as, you know, as growing up and going to college and learning the business aspect of things, you just expand with the industry as well. And having that experience as a young man and being in the field for so long, it becomes like breathing. And there is a lot to learn in each home because everything is different.
I can only imagine.
It's an endless possibility of decision-making, issues. You know, we think about geology, we think about physics and all this other fun stuff, and the well-rounded experience and all those things, technically, that I learned as a young man was crucial in developing it later on. And so now as we get into the real estate market and you start to do developments and you're attuned to the values of homes and it was a natural fit for me to move along and find development properties for myself, and it allows me to be a little bit more attuned to what I would like to see on the market. So
sure.
It's a bit of an art form as well. So
that's awesome. So Jason, right now, where's the direction and your focus for your company in this environment?
Well, in this environment, with the correction that we had in 2008, it kind of leveled the playing field and kind of started everything over for many of the small builders. A lot of the national builders consolidated and bought a lot of the available properties.
Some of our big ones here in our local market.
Yeah, they moved right in and they took over all the available lots. And so you really had to change your dynamics as a smaller builder and think about what you would like to focus on. And for me, I like to focus on really fun, high character homes. It's not just a house that has a couple of light switches in it and those kinds of things. We like to think about backlighting and really setting a mood in the house. And custom building is really the only way that allows you to expand on some of those fun elements of a home that really set the mood for what your everyday life. So
yeah, that makes sense. So what do you see as the state of our market today?
Well, our market is changed
crazy.
Quite a bit. Very crazy. And again, it provided some opportunities. It's changed over the last year for sure because the market has accelerated and become so hot as far as buying and selling. But it does create the opportunity for things to kind of correct themselves and give you an opportunity to get into homes. For example, the bank owns and some of the the short sale properties might have lost their value, and some of them have been distressed or gone in disrepair. Those are the type of homes that I send clients to target. And if the location is good, then that's a good place to start. Mm-hmm. And you go in and you can either remodel the property or take it down. The other factors are that the labor market has changed so drastically. We're now in a situation where there's not enough labor to meet up with some of the demand, and some of the big builders have really taken up a lot of the quick and available labor. And in the custom market, we've really changed who we can hire, and we have to really be mindful of our sub base to fulfill our schedules.
Isn't it just interesting how yesterday is totally different than today?
Yeah, most of the people that were in the business in 2007 and 2008, they either retired, went out of business, or just got fed up with it and they left. And for a couple of years there, we lost a huge labor pool. We lost qualified workers, and some guys just flat out retired. And it truly hasn't been replenished as quickly as we need it to be. And so now we're starting to see emerging businesses out of that. But it's still way behind, and everybody's still learning how to deal with that change.
So whatever other effects have you seen, Jason, in your industry?
Well, because of that correction, the way we run our business has changed a lot. It's no longer loose. And, before you got to be able to throw a number at it and everybody got exactly what they wanted. And mm-hmm. that's what drove up a lot of the prices. You didn't have to really be mindful of the bottom line as much. But nowadays, it is so tight and so competitive that it really kind of made things more efficient in the end. And so we have new technologies now. We have smartphones, iPads, and a way to take a photo and instantaneously, send it to somebody to communicate, or even a video. So it makes it a lot easier and quicker to do more. And so the result is we're actually doing way more revenue and more projects with less manpower. And it becomes a little bit hectic, but it's what we have to do, and it makes the most sense. And in the end, it's provided a lot of value and mm-hmm. and making it feasible for people to build their custom home again or remodel.
And I noticed on your business card, you got that barcode thing going on. What is that?
The QR code. Yeah, gets you right to
the barcode. Yeah. I need a QR code.
Yeah, it's a obviously it goes right into the smartphone, and you can just scan it, and you can go right to my website, and it automatically calls and things like that, or it goes to the Facebook page, which is the easiest way for me to update current photos. And we used to have booklets and everything that you'd give to everybody.
Yeah, isn't technology great?
Yeah, and now we're just snapping a photo of the day and sending it on the website, and it's easy to follow. And it also provides the clients with a way to kind of keep interested and get ideas. Mm-hmm. And probably for custom homes, that is the most enjoyable part, is creating all these different ideas and different themes that you'd like in your house.
So, Jason, if someone's listening right now and they're like, you know what, that sounds nice. It sounds nice to really look at the opportunity to have a custom-built home, and especially from a contractor like yourself and your company that really does that fun, high-end custom home. How do they get, what's your website that they can go to?
It's NobleRidgeConstruction.com. That's NOBLE, RidgeConstruction.com. You can also follow us on Facebook it's Facebook.com/NobleRidgeConstruction. Just become a fan. It'll come up in your newsfeed. It's not only high end, by the way. There's a lot that you can achieve for just a little bit more than the builder grades that people just don't realize. Most developers are out there, they're putting out their product, they're looking at price per square foot on their costs, and they're just pumping out as much product. And that's what some of those national builders have done. And you've seen a shortage of supply, not a lot of choices. And mm-hmm. so that's what leads to people saying, I think maybe I'd like to remodel, or maybe I'd like to build something that I want. And right now we've had a surge in just people that want to build something that's not there.
Yeah.
And so they come to us, we refer them to an architect that fits their style. Mm-hmm. and then they get on their way. And so,
and what a good point. What an amazing time and a good opportunity right now, because you're not getting anything else that's out there. It's so competitive and so hard. If you just kind of do your own thing and you're in a position to do that, how awesome is that?
It's phenomenal. And probably the most rewarding thing that you can do for yourself is create a space that you come home to every day after work and create the space that you really want. The process can be difficult at times, but when you get to the end, there's nothing more rewarding and relaxing than building the space that you wanted. So it's a fun process. You do have to be patient, and you don't have to rush into everything. And that's what's kind of good about this market. You do have your choices.
Versus see a house, you literally have an hour less than that to make sure you put that offer together and get it submitted.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. But, it's a good time to kind of research. And so the biggest thing that I could say to someone that wants to even think about it is, you start following websites and blogs or just looking on the internet for pictures and ideas and themes, and you kind of get inspired. People watch all those home improvement shows. Now, we can't build it in 24 hours, just so you guys know.
Oh, man.
Okay. So that is amazing that they try to. But anyway, they... So there's ways to get inspired and get these ideas, and you can grab stuff and off of like Pinterest or any of those Instagram.
Oh my gosh, don't get me on Pinterest.
Yeah, you can start tagboarding your own little segue of things and get in, and then you can start researching properties and kind of get used to what's out there in the market.
Yeah.
And just like anything else, if you're really getting serious and you really want to start to get into the nuts and bolts, you want to try to get your financial stuff in order, and you get pre-approved and you kind of figure it all out.
Just like any other purchase.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so when you get out there, you can finally look at, the area you want to be in. You can just be a little bit more reserved about jumping on something. You can pick an area, a town that you want to have your kids raised in, for example, and scour that area, look for bank owns, look for rehabs or just vacant land, which is becoming more and more harder to get. So.
Yeah. So what do you think custom building is in your view?
It's definitely not something that's a cookie cutter. I would say that 90% of the homes out there are usually built just with bare bones, everything. And there is a myriad of different options that you can have, even in your light switch. And so you have the choice to choose each one of those items in your house, each light fixture, each molding detail, and it can become overwhelming. But with the right team in place, the right architect, the right builder, they can start to steer you in those directions. A lot of home automation these days, home theater rooms that are not looking like a theater, but a theater that kind of blends in with your kitchen almost, with all the, that kind of stuff where you start to really think about the ideas of your everyday life and how your family's raised and things like that. So,
now, Jason, you mentioned remodeling and how you're seeing a lot more of that, and it makes total sense because of the fact of the lack of inventory and people are, now that we're seeing interest rates go up and they'll continue to go up, people will want to stay with what they have because the rates aren't as appealing in going out and purchasing a new home. But in the remodeling, talk about that a little bit.
Well, when you're remodeling, probably the biggest decision that you can make when you decide to remodel is that this is the location that you want. And it usually people tend to remodel because they haven't found the house that fits all their needs. It has maybe 80% of it, or they can't find a lot that they can put a brand new house on it, and they couldn't make it feasible. So when you decide to remodel, that's,
and they're not in the perfect area, which makes no sense.
Yeah. So you want to really focus on making it your, because remodeling is a little bit more expensive.
Uh-huh.
And to recoup that value takes a little bit more of a longevity of holding onto that property. So, you make that space yours, and then as you think about what you need, then you move to getting an architect and things like that, mm-hmm. after you've kind of figured out your equity positions and your financing side of things, and then you really start to plan that space and remodel there.
And I like how you mentioned to Mike and I, Jason, about, if you can't find the lot or the remodeling, why spend a bunch of money if you're not in the right area? Go find a bank owned, go find a property that's in major distress, pick it up for cheap if you can, tear it down.
Exactly. And again, there's not a lot of available inventory. And lately we've seen a very big rush on modern
design, because mm-hmm. there's just none here in Washington as much. It is a big movement now, but we see a lot of people that go, I really want a modern house, but there's not even one on the market, so they come to us and we start building these things all over the place. And so it's added a little bit of flavor mm-hmm. to the community, which is great. Again, it really tailors to the people's needs that they want.
So you also do developing, and I know that you work with investors on properties. How has that experience, benefited you guys?
It's been really good, because a lot of people will come to me and say, where do I start? What am I looking for? And there are plenty of pitfalls that can happen in buying a property as far mm-hmm. as, is it a sensitive area? Is it, does it have all the utilities in place? And some of those things are just not apparent to the everyday person. And that's where it can become a scary issue. And so, often people come to me when they're looking at the property, they got their agent, then they invite me over to say, hey, take a look at this. And I point out all the little things that make sense, or what could cost a lot, and kind of value engineer the property for them before they make that purchase. And it's, I look at equities, I look at sales in the neighborhood, I kind of think of the size of the house that they might be looking at, and mm-hmm. tell them that it's within a range that would fit in this neighborhood, and you don't go out and, build $1 million house in a $300,000 neighborhood. So
yeah.
You got to keep it real, so to speak. And and that also helps on the lending side. There's been, you got to be mindful of the fact that you might be financing it, and you got to be careful of those things.
Exactly. Jason, out of time, way, way too short. Good thing that our producer has you booked for more shows to share your wealth of information. Thank you so much. It was awesome having you in here for the first time. And thanks again for being part of our team and offering your expertise to our listeners.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Thanks again, Jason. See you soon.
Yep.
Well, this is Mike Mercer signing off for the Mortgage Diva, Ms. Tina Mitchell.
And right over here, this is Tina Mitchell signing off for the Mortgage Master, Mike Mercer. Thank you to all of our awesome listeners out there. We appreciate your support of our show. And any suggestions you have, don't hesitate to give us a call, 1-888-987-0570. And have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
See you guys. Have a great week.
Free electricity from your roof? It's possible with solar energy. Here's Amy from Solterra Systems.
There's never been a better time to install solar in Washington, and yes, we do get enough sun. Incentives cover over 50% if the installation cost and zero down financing is available. Enjoy watching your meter run backwards this summer by installing solar now.
Go to useyourroof.com to find out how easy it can be. That's useyourroof.com, or call 800-865-9005 to get your free site assessment from Solterra Systems.
The preceding program was paid for by Cobalt Mortgage. Cobalt Mortgage, Inc., NMLS 35653, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, and Mike Mercer, MLO number 175644, are licensed loan originators with Cobalt Mortgage. Go to cobaltmortgage.com or call 1-877-220-4663 for cost information.